Page 144 on Pas Paragid Pasik Base Cholak Libam Ata Yeesham. Pasik over here says that the Jewish people, it's a description of the Aseres Hashvatim, and it says their hearts are divided. This Pasik is the Makar, one of the main sources, the concept of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, their hearts are, they're separated, each man for himself. There is no unity in Klal Yisrael. We're going to see a lot of deep Flamma Farshim here. Cholak Libam, Ata, and therefore, because their hearts are separate, one from another, there is division. Ata, now Yeshamu, now they will be declared guilty. Now, and until this point in time, in other words, I'm just giving you some advance information here, that Klal Yisrael did terrible averus for many, many years. They were doing averus since the time they could, since even when they crossed the Yamsuf, they brought with them Pesel Micha. They brought with them Pesel Micha. So the averus go back from time immemorial. Yet there was always Achdus. Yachat Kulam Hoidu Vihim Lichu V'yamru. They sang Shira. Start working with me. They sang Shira. Yachat Kulam Hoidu Vihim Lichu V'yamru. It was Achdus when they sang Shira. When they came to Matan Torah, Ki Ish Echad, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, Vayichan Vloshim Yachid, Ki Ish Echad, Belev Echad. Achdus.
But that was an exception. That wasn't the, Rashi said that was the exception.
That was, but it was still, it's true, that was the Spitz. That was the highest degree of Achdus they ever had. But over here, this Pasuk is telling us that even going, we fast forward, well, how many years is it? 900, in the time of the, well, you have, when the time of the Agolos of the Aseres Hashvatim, so what is it, 700 years approximately since the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was still Achdus, a degree, a significant degree of Achdus in Klal Yisrael, and even though they were guilty of worshipping idols, guilty of Ritzicha, guilty of Gili Arayos, there was still Achdus. We're all on the same team. And therefore, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very forgiving. Very forgiving when it comes to sinning against Hashem. And even to a degree, I mean, whatever that means, a sin bin Adam l'chaveiro, right? Not as much. As long as there is Achdus. But when you come to a point where there's no Achdus, each man for himself, there is sinas chinam, there is indifference to someone else's suffering, cholak libam, Hashem says, oh, no more at all. Now, for the very first time, I'm not going to overlook all of the sins that you've been doing for the last 700 years. Wow. Now, I'm going to declare you guilty. Right, because they are achdus. Even though they were wicked, they were shoyim, they were wicked, but achdus goes a very, very long way.
Migdal
Bavel,
that's the famous.
Migdal Bavel, Hashem did that. Noyach, the contrast between Dor Noyach and Dor of Migdal Bavel, achdus. So the achdus, Hashem did not destroy them, Hashem just dispersed them. It's all over Chavlal. What?
The wrong kind of achdus.
It was one kind, but even, but still and all, there was still Achdus. Hashem, at least you're together. At least you're together. You're rebelling against me, that's pretty bad, but at least you're together, so I'm not going to destroy you, I'm going to disperse you. Here Hashem says, no more. Now Cholak Libam, for the very first time, this was the first time in Jewish history, where we find a Navi, we find an explicit Pasuk telling us there is a significant division, a division, and which can no longer be tolerated. Now you'll say there was a plagish begiva, right? There was a civil war. I mean, how bad does it get? There's a civil war, and you'll tell me the whole rebellion, the whole malchus, the malchus of Yisrael was a rebellion against the malchus of David. It's true, but at least there were two units. Okay, you had Binyamin versus Klal Yisrael. Binyamin was together. Klal Yisrael was together. There was a civil war. Aseres Hashvatim were together. And the Malchus of Yehuda was together. But here, even among the Aseres Hashvatim, they were not together. Each man to himself. Cholak Libam. It's a whole new world. Ata now Yeshamu. Now I'm going to declare them all guilty. This is one interpretation. Hu Ya'aroif Miz B'choisam. Who here, according to the mitzudos refers to Hashem. Hashem will allow the enemy. Hashem will allow the enemy who yaspik biyad oyev la'arayf ulahashchis. Hashem will allow. Who here is seemingly according to the mitzudos refers to Hashem ya'arayf. He will allow the enemy to break their neck. Okay, the word ya'arayf is a term which refers to egla arufa, decapitation. Okay, decapitation from the back of the animal's neck. Not a pleasant way to slaughter an animal. And here we're using this term, Mizbech HaYisam, in reference to the altars. The Goyim are going to come into the land, and they're going to smash and destroy their Mizbech HaYisam. And we're using here the word Ya'arayf, Yishoydeid, Matzeva Yisam. Remember, we have two parts, the pasuk. We have a Mizbech and a Matzeva. And the word Yishoydeid here means, also Oishak means to rob, okay, to extort. Seemingly, they adorned, they beautified their altars with gold and silver and other precious stones. So when the enemy, that we know that it's very interesting because it really goes to show the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Umas HaOlam. If we hear they're copying the Goyim, and the Pasuk says Yishoydeid, which is a term which means to rob, to steal, to plunder, It has a connotation, maybe I'm wrong, is that the altars in ancient times, I think there is proof to this, there are sources for this psukim, the Goyim, when they brought sacrifice upon their altars, it was beautified. The altar was beautified with gold and silver, v'chulu v'chulu. It was extremely valuable. Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, is no such thing. The Mizbeach, if you would sell it on the market, how much would it be worth? Nothing. What's the Mizbeach? Stone.
There's plenty of gold in the base of
Mikdash. In the base, but not in the Mizbeach. The base of Mikdash is full of gold. The whole Kodesh HaKodashim is plated with gold. The Aroin, the Menorah. But the Mizbeach, the place where the sacrifice was offered, is just lime. It's just pebbles. Pebbles poured with cement to make it smooth and straight. There's no value to this. This could not be sold on the market. All you'll say is, I have my a piece of the Mizbeach. Right? It'll be priceless, right? If someone today would come along and say they have a stone from the base of the Mizbeach, it would be priceless. But if you would not know that it's from the base of Migdash, what is it? Just a piece of stone. So that doesn't have any intrinsic value. So you see over here, interesting, the difference between that and what that speaks volumes. Hashem does not want, when we bring a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be with any gashmias. Giving up an animal which represents Mesiras Nefesh, giving up your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is done on a mokam through an object. It has no value. The Mizbeach, the altar where you come close to Hashem, is completely valueless. In contrast to a corrupt Hasaga of an Umas HaOlam, at least there's an allusion to this. I'm not so sure I'm saying it was 100% correct, but I do vaguely remember in Sefer Melachim there are stories where they built mizbechos that were adorned. They're very impressed with the mizbechos of the Umos HaOlam, which were adorned with gold and silver and designed in a very exquisite way. It's a whole different approach to coming to offering a sacrifice to a god. You offer it on a mokam through an object that is priceless, very expensive, precious gold and silver. Here the Klal Yisrael, they're following the ways of the Goyim, they're building altars, they're very expensive, and now Hashem is saying the enemy is going to come into the Beis HaMikdash, into your land, and it's going to the Mizbechos they're going to destroy, the Mizbechos, and the Matzevos Sam, the single stone altars, they're going to Yishoydeid rob. They're going to plunder, take away its value. Now, one more point I want to make over here. Ya'arayf Mizbechos Sam. This is very old. This is a very, very, very interesting idea. The word Mizbechos Sam. We know that when Yosef met, everyone knows this idea, when Yosef met his brothers, he revealed himself to his brothers, and then he cried, he spoke to them, and then he cried on the necks of Binyamin, and Binyamin bacha al tzavaroy. So Yosef cried on the neck tzavarov, it's a kriv chsiv. So he cried, they both cried on each other's necks. Why does it say they cry on each other's necks? So Rashi explains that the necks of Binyamin, it's written mole, to indicate that Yosef was crying over the Churban Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, that will one day be built in the Chelik of Binyamin. And Binyamin crying on the neck of Yosef, a reference to Mishkan Shiloi, that will last for 369 years, that will be built in the Chelik of Yosef, that will be destroyed, and that's why he called Yisrael Pei Ruach HaKodesh, that these events will happen, in the future. The question is, why do we describe the Beis HaMikdash as a whole with the term a neck? What is the metaphor? A neck, a tzavar is the Beis HaMikdash. Since when does the Beis HaMikdash revert? So the answer, the common answer, they teach to in elementary school. I remember learning this in the Amish and kindergarten. They teach to you, in elementary, they teach us because what is the neck? The neck connects the head and the body. The head represents spirituality, where the mind is, ruchnius. The body is gashmius. Okay, the body, that's not where all the ruchnius takes place. What is the neck? The neck is the chibur. What is the Beis HaMikdash in the big picture of things? It's the place where Mechaber, Shamayim V'aretz. Shamayim is the world of spirituality. This world is the world of Gashmius, material gain, physicality, materialism, pleasure in this world. That's what this world is all about. So what is the Beis HaMikdash? It's the place in the world, it's the neck. It's the chibur between this world, Gashmius, and the Ruchnius. That is that the Beis HaMikdash in the big picture is called the Tzava. But let's go further. Let's pinpoint what exactly about where exactly in the Beis HaMikdash is the Chibur. Let's be more precise. You know, they're launching new satellites all over the world today. The GPS is not enough. GPS is only accurate until within 5 feet. You know, they can't predict where you are. They can tell you where you are within 5 to 25 feet. It's not good enough. You have to know where the device is mamish within a half a centimeter, a millimeter. So now there are new...
They can do that. They don't need satellites. They use the triangulation from the...
Now within a half a centimeter. A half a centimeter, they need new satellites, new technology. These satellites they're using now, you know how old they are? Some of them are almost 50 years old. You're going to be shocked. You think it's new stuff? It's old stuff. Yeah?
The Lord is criticizing you, but I want to brought sacrifices on altars. So what is criticizing? The altars or the beautification of
everything?
Altars?
No, the whole thing is criticizing you from beginning to end.
But the beautification of the altar, we still maintain, we beautify something.
Not, but it's true. We beautify. It has to. Well, they would paint it twice a year. They would refurbish the mizbeach twice a year, maybe once a year, Pesach. They refurbished the Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach is just stone. It was made from pebbles.
Yeah, but they didn't have nothing on so the Mizbeach, so they beautified it.
They didn't beautify it. It wasn't beautified.
By gold, you said.
No, not in the Beis HaMikdash.
No,
the Goyim.
Yeah, no, so we maintain this beautification. We could light Shabbos candles on the table, but we put a silver menorah.
That's right. And the Beis HaMikdash also, there was gold. The Kodesh HaKodesh was plated with gold. The menorah is pure gold.
Yes.
The Aron is gold. The Kapores is gold. Everything is gold. But yet, the place where we offer our sacrifice, the Mokum, the specific place where we... That's what, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring sacrifices.
Yeah, but they didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, so they put it in the mountain someplace.
Okay, but they had a temple. Please, they maintain a beautiful place. The Goyim have a temple, and in the temple, they copy what we do. They have a temple, whatever they do, they have a mizbeach. And here, the pasuk is indicating is that when the Goyim worship, offer sacrifices to their gods, the mizbeach, the altar itself, was made from precious stones and metals.
So that they brought to the Jews to themselves.
So right. So they adapted that that goyish custom.
Okay.
So that begs the question: Why didn't Hashem instruct us to do this? Yeah.
So I have a thought about that. That concept of Zed Kedi Van Vehu is reserved for the performance of mitzvahs, not for the
sacrifice
worship. Whereas they don't have mitzvahs, so their Zekeli Ganvehu occurs in the worship place.
In the worship, okay. It requires a lot of thought, but it begs the question. If the Goyim are doing this, they're not fools. They're smart people. They know what they're doing. There's a logic behind what they're doing. So why don't we do it? why didn't Hashem? Obviously, Hashem is smarter than them, and Hashem is telling, no, it's not the place. Like Rabbi Mechol is saying, there's a place for everything. Zeh Keli V'Anveyu is in the mitzvahs.
I was just, somehow my mind was united.
No, you have to. Right, you have to break it up into different parts. Like in the Beis Hamikdash, there are different elements. So the point over here is, so the whole the Beis Hamikdash in the big picture is called the Tzava. But let's go. Let's pinpoint where exactly in the Beis Hamikdash is the greater precision. Where there's more specific. It's more specific. It's the Malkum. So you'll tell me it's the Kodesh HaKadoshim on top of the Aron HaKodesh. That's 100% true. But there's also an Eish Min HaShamayim, this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, we don't mention nothing about the Kodesh HaKodashim. We mention about the Mizbeach. Aaron went on the Mizbeach and he was marked through all the Kurbanos. And there was no Eish Min HaShamayim. It didn't come down. And Aaron was so embarrassed. He goes to Moshe and he complains, Moshe, what did you do to me? You told me, Rav El HaMizbeach, Va'aseh Eschatoscha. I'm humiliated in front of Gans Klal. You humiliated me in front of 3 million people. That's what it says. That's what it says Rashi, the Farish and Rashi. You humiliated me. What did you do to me? So Moshe was shaken up. I learned that Moshe immediately he takes Aaron by the hand. They go into the Beis Hamikdash to be mispalo. He doesn't say, "Let me take your name down. I'll write it down, and you know." Next time I daven Shemona Esrei, I'll daven for you. I'll put it immediately. He takes ownership of the problem, and he says, "Aaron, you're right. I was mevaza you. Let's make tikkun. Let's solve the problem." He immediately takes them into the oil moed, and they daven together. They daven together, and then indeed the Eish Min HaShamayim comes down. Like I told you, that's Arbelsky. Arbelsky was very, it seems like it's not the only story, all the stories like this, where people went to ask Rav Moshe for a bracha. He didn't just, okay, write down what's your name and put on the list. On the spot, mamish, on the spot of Moshe Feinstein, take out a Tehillim and would sit there in front of the person and daven.
That was life-threatening situation.
What?
You said it was a life-threatening situation.
Yeah, so man, every situation is a life-threatening situation in this world. So here you see exactly this is where did Rav Moshe Feinstein get it from? From this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, Aaron comes with a complaint, and immediately, without any delay, together, he takes Aaron into the Oil Moed and the Mispalel for the So where is the place of the Hashroha Sashchina, the connection between heaven and earth? The Mizbeach. What with that place of connection is called the neck. What do you do to the neck? Well, you do one of two things. If you do a kosher shchita, it's called shchita. If you do a non-kosher shchita, well, that it can be called nechira, but it's called the worst thing you can do is a decapitation. Ya'aroif mizbechaisam. So it's if you just read the words, it's very bizarre. Why in the world would you put the word Ya'aroif describing the churban of a mizbeach, of an altar? Now, this is an altar of Avodah Zarah, by the way, of altar of Avodah Zarah. Why would you use the word Ya'aroif in reference to a mizbeach? It's not the right word. You would say demolish. There's probably a long list of words in the dictionary that you can use to describe how. What?
The Torah describes what to do to their mizbeach.
There are other words also. What's this bizarre word doing here? What's going on over here? The answer is it's not. It's adarabah. It's a very precise word because the purpose of a mizbeach, even by the goyim in their corrupt approach to understand this world, it's a connection between the gashmias and the ruchnias, spirituality. And that is what the neck is. So when this connection is severed, so the correct word to use is a word that we use to sever a neck. The way the neck is severed is shchita, or there's arifa, the egla arufa, decapitation. So the word indeed is a very precise word when you think about it. So let's take a look at over here at the parish of Mitzudos Pasuk Beis. Plus what?
Is there any significance in the
Mitzvah
that use the
lotion? Okay, let's see. Let's read the Mitzvahs right now inside together. Okay, we didn't read it yet. The Mitzudos is found on page 144. 144 on the bottom, Pasik base, Cholak Libam. Now, what does this mean? Nechlak Libam v'nifrad min hamokim baruch hu. This is not what I told you. What I told you is the medrash, don't worry. I told you I stand my ground, or I prepared. Okay, that. But over here, the Pshutos Shal Mikra is the Jews have separated themselves from Hashem. They've decided we no longer Elon Chelik, we have no portion HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have been removed themselves. Lochain, therefore, as a consequence, Ata now, Bizman Karoiv, Yihu, Shimama, they will be destroyed. And how do we describe the destruction? Who Ya'arif? Now who is the word who refers to Hashem Ya'arif? Ritson Laimar Hamakim Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what was your question? What is the word Hamakim? Why Hamakim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I don't know how much significance you can read into the words of the Mitzudos. Mitzudos is not a Pasuk, it's not a Rashi. Mitzudos is the 1700s. Something like that, 1800s. So the Mitzudos is not. It's not you can't really read. You know, it's just an expression. It's just an expression. Amokim Baruch Hu Yaspik. He will give the ability. He will provide them with the ability. Biyad Ha'oyev La'aroif U'la'hashchis to decapitate and to destroy. Mizbech Hoysam V'la'ashoik and to plunder. To plunder, to steal, to rob Matseva, some their altars of Matseva, we mentioned yesterday, is an altar made from a single stone. Okay, let's see over here, Rashi, Pasuk Beis, Cholak Libam, Mimeni, Rashi, the same thing we mentioned in the Mitzvah, same thing over here, that they have separated themselves from Hashem. Now, like I told you, Bin Odom Lachaveroi, therefore, ata now Yeshamu, they will be guilty, I will declare them guilty, Hu Hadavar, who hadavar asher yarif mizbechosam? This is the matter that will happen to them. Asher yarif mizbechosam yashchis. The word yarif of Rashi says is it does not. I gave you the drush. Rashi is giving us the pshat. The pshat is yarif means yashchis. It means to destroy. For example, the orfusham esu eglo harufa banochal. The eglo over there it means to destroy the eglo. Decapitation is a churban to the animal. V'araftoi yishbar tzavaram. It means there in that pasuk. Another example is wait. Where is that pasuk in Shemos? You give. What was I referring to? V'araftoi. V'araftoi. V'araftoi.
But the pasuk you're reading is from Shoftim.
Right. That's the first pasuk. Yeah, Rashi quotes two psukim. Rashi for the arfu sham.
What?
Oh, okay. The imloy, if you the chamar petah chamar tifteh v'sev the imloy sifteh va'araftoy, the chamar will be decapitated. So you have two different creatures, the tar which are decapitated.
I was just writing down thought before you read this without looking, but the point is, I said that there's a machlokus in the Gemara by Egla Rufo, where you measure the body from the head or the torso. And we say the torso. So what I wanted, I thought maybe the reason for the torso is because when it's a murder, there's no spirituality attached to it at all. It's all from the physical part of the body. So, and that's why maybe you hit, what do you do to the behemoth? You hit it in the neck. You're separating to make sure that you never think that it's anything to do with spirituality. Some people say he deserves to die or whatever it is. There's a thought process that there's something spiritual to it. Make no mistake about it. Murder is murder. It's so you splitting the symbolism of cutting, your neck, your huas on the egg of Arato, is to make a separation between the head and the neck. I mean, the head and the body.
Yeah, have you considered becoming a rabbi?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very good. That's the rabbi temple.
Weiter, okay, Varafto Yishpar Tsavram Dovrachel Lefi Medesha Godol. Godol, now here is where I mentioned to this in the Sifrei. Godol Hashalom. Okay, Achdus, peace amongst us is very, very great. Shafilu Yisrael Oivdim of the Zara, even if they worship idols, but the Shalom Beinehem, there's peace among us. Ein Hasatan Mikatreg Beinehem, then there is no accusation in heaven. Shenemar Chavur Atzabim Ephraim Hanachle. Ephraim refers over here until this point in time, Ephraim the Aseres HaShvatim, they are Chavur. They're all unified. They're all unified in their worship of idols. Atzabim is a word for an idol. It means sadness. It's a very sad when a human being worships a piece of stone, a piece of wood. But it's a term which means an idol. But the fact that it's chavur, everyone at least is achdus, even though they're doing something foolish and rebellious to worship an idol, Hashem says, no, hanachloi, let it be. Let it be, I'm not angry. I'm happy at least they're be'achdus. And hopefully the day will come when they'll channel their desire to worship something from a stone to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when there is pirut, bin adam l'chaveroi, that's the end. V'sonui hamachlekes, a division amongst us is hated by Hashem, shenemar, this is the pasuk, okay, this is the famous pasuk. Cholak libam. If Rachmana l'son is a matzav where we are divided, even if everything is fine and good, there's a lot of learning, there's a lot of davening, there's a lot of chesed, but if everyone is trying to, everyone inside of their hearts has a hatred, I once heard a very nice shiur from a Sfardi. He said the real taich of sinas chinam, most sin is not chinam, most hatred amongst us in society is for good reason. It's for good reason. I have a lot of good reasons why I hate this person. A lot. I can write a book. All the things that he did to me and his attitude and his behavior and v'chulu v'chulu. So that's not really sin. If you have a good reason, it's not good, obviously. You should be mavrel midoisav. You know, you can dash in the whole day. You should overlook, give him the benefit of the doubt, v'chulu v'chulu. But that's not chinam. How could you call hatred? People are screaming at each other, fighting with each other. That's called chinam. It's not chinam. There's a reason. Chinam means indifference. I just don't care. You hear about a person, you see another person, you see he needs help. He's in trouble. He needs someone to help him, and you're indifferent. It's not my problem. It's his problem. I have my own problems. I don't want to know from you. There's no empathy. There's no.
In Kamsa, that nobody supported him.
They were silent. They didn't get into protest. You have to go further. Understand this. That's chinam. So by not going forward and assisting, where you have, of course, you have the ability. You can do something. Whatever you can do. They can't always do very much. But at least to empathize, to give him an ear, at least to show that you care, to do something. If you are silent, that's called hatred. The Torah doesn't, it's not, there's no, in Yiddishkeit, it's very hard to find items that are parif. It's usually one extreme or the other. It's very hard. Someone Tashava, he just says to me, I'll tell you a klal. He says, in life, there are only two types of people, givers and takers. You almost never find someone in between. Look around. People are givers or they're takers.
You cannot be both.
You can be both.
So you said either or.
It's very rare. It's very rare. It's very rare to have.
I mean, that's what marriage is.
No, it's not what marriage is. Marriage is like only giving. Only giving. No, no taking. No, 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 no. Only giving. And there's a famous expression. What?
How do you make that transition? I'm still a bit concerned.
This is what I'm still thinking about it. By being indifferent, it's this is what this Sephardic rabbi said. I don't know who his name was. I heard this on a tape in the car a long time ago. What?
This individual has a problem.
Yes.
I hear about it. It's very nice. I got my own problems.
Exactly.
Does that mean I hate the individual?
This Sephardic rabbi is saying if a person. If you empathize with him, no, obviously not. And most of the time, you can't do anything. But let us say there is a situation where the person comes, he just wants to vent. He wants your ear, you can't help him. And you just, get out of here. I don't want to know from you. I got my own problems. Don't tell me your problems.
What you're saying is you should either sympathize or empathize.
Or help them. Let's say you can help them.
Automatically is considered.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the Torah has very high standards.
That's a very
high. That's called sinner. That is called sinner. That is called hatred. By not going forward, it's a chiddush. I agree with you.
You're calling that selfishness also.
The apple is no good. To be bad is to be a Russian. Is a thing in itself. To be good and to be the opposite is indifference.
If you're not going to go,
indifference is the opposite.
Indifference in English just means I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't mean I hate. In English, in the English language, there's a fundamental difference between the word indifference and hatred. Hatred connotes action.
It's a positive thing.
A positive feeling. Indifference is powerful. In Yados, the Sephardic rabbi was suggesting, is there's no difference, there's no distinction between indifference and sinner. Sinner is indifference. And in order, and what we call in English sinner is called sinner stam. But indifference is called sinas chinam. That was his chiddush. In English, is indifference and there's hatred. In Yiddishkeit, there is sinner and there is sinas chinam. Sinner is you actively go and you hate the person, you beat them up. Sinas chinam is indifference, but it's still called sinner. Chazal were very clever in their choice of words to show it's not powerful. We don't view it as being powerful. Okay, I got my problems, you got your problems. If you're not going to empathize with him, that already is guilt.
Well, wait a minute. Now you've elevated your understanding from a Sephardi rabbi to what the Rabbanan said. Is there a Makor in
the... What he... No. I'm not... I'm just telling you who I heard this from. It's a Chiddush. This is not what they teach you in elementary school. In elementary, they tell you, Sinas Chinam, me, the simple translation, I hate him. Why do you hate him? I don't know, I just hate him. I hate him. Why? Good reason, not a good reason. Years ago I hated him, so I still hate him. So they tell you, whatever reason you have for hating him, put it aside and love him. Okay, that's the simple interpretation. So this is a much deeper approach. And the deeper approach is borders on the question, if you have a good reason to hate a person, for whatever your reason, in your mind it's a good reason. Maybe to someone else it's not a good reason. Don't judge someone else. In my mind, everyone is different. In my mind, I have a very good reason why I don't like him. How can Chazal then turn? This is what the Sephardic rabbi asked this question. This is Drush. Okay, you don't have to agree with it. This is what he says. How can you, Chazal, term this sinas chinam? It's not chinam. This good cause. Therefore, he suggested that in truth, the correct translation of sinas chinam is what we in English would say indifference. And the Torah is revealing to us is that the Torah has higher standards. Chazal have higher standards. The standards are there is outright hatred, and then there is indifference. And the term for indifference is sinas chinam. And the word sinah is part of this term to make an impression upon a person that there's no such thing in your relationship with another man as being powerful. It's either you're with him or you're against him. Like the President of the United States once said, right? You're either with us or you're against us. There's no power. There's no in-between. Yeah.
What I'm saying is, again, you restated and you said he's quoting Chazal. So where is the Chazal?
The term sinas chinam. That's the Chazal.
It's in the Gemara?
Yes. Sinas, Sechta Gidin, the term there is the Gemara. Sinas chinam.
Is there an indifference?
That's what he's suggesting.
Where is the Makar in the Gemara?
The term, the Makar, the only Makar is two words. Two words. Sinas chinam.
No, but that's his drive.
That's right. That's it. Zehu.
What did they do by Eglar Rufa that was so terrible? They were indifferent to the plight of this guy who was
coming. You don't call the guy a Russian.
You call him a Russian. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's go further. On both sides.
Anti-Semit in a closet. Anti-Semit. He's anti-Semit.
Sinas, indifference. Indifference. The Chazal have very high standards. They want you to be proactive. You cannot. There's no in between. When you hear about, when you see another person, there has to be achdus to the degree where you have to at least feel, attempt. It's very, very hard. Very hard, but at least attempt to feel for another person. This opens up the Pishon Peh, Rashi already quoted the whole Chazal.
Cholakliv. Now let's take a look right away. Let's look at the Chazal, okay? Because that's what we just learned the Rashi. So we'll see on the bottom of this page 144 on the very bottom. Cholak libam atoya shamu loygalu avoseinu atche nichu hashalom v'tafsu hamachlekes. The Aseres Hashvatim for 200 years were worshipping idols. There was civil war. There were terrible averos going on for over 200 years. So what was the straw that broke the camel's back that Hashem said Atkan? It was when there was sinas chinam. Shenemar, this pasuk Rashi said this whole idea. Cholak libam, their hearts are divided one among the other. Not like Rashi in his first interpretation of the Mitzvot, that their hearts are divided against Hashem. It means between man and his friend. Ata now yeshamu lefichach golinu lebeinu umay she'en yoidim shalom. They don't know what peace is. They have no. Everyone among the guy was each for his own self. Shnemar vatiz nach mi shalom nafshi. It has been rejected from peace, my neshama. When my similar idea that when my neshama no longer wanted to be at peace with my fellow man, no shisi toiva, I abandon good. And the good is Eretz Yisrael, all of the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon us, all of that good, we have abandoned by rejecting the principle of peace. Rabbi Eliezer ben Binoyo, HaKapor, Omer, Godol HaShalom, Shafilu Yisrael, the same idea, Oivdim, Avoy, Dezer, V'Shalom, Ineyem, Kheviyachol, Amar HaMokim, Hashem says, Ein HaSata, Negea, Bohem, Shenemar, same thing Rashi says, Chavur atzabim Ephraim. Ephraim, they're all joined together in their worship of idols, but at least they're chavur. At least they're all together. Therefore, hanachloi, I'm going to give them a pass. Aval mishnechliku ma'anem bochem cholak libum ato yeshamu. Okay, that's Rash. Now let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak, that's sort of the next passage, so we can leave that. Let's take a look first at the Choymas Anoch. The Choymas Anoch is the Chidah on page 145. Very nice Choymas Anoch. Cholak liyum ato gzuntai cholak ato yeshamu efsholoy mar sheikra kol hu achdus. Okay, same idea. The ikur is achdus, unity. V'yim yesh adam toro mitzvahis, a person has toro mitzvahis, v'yesh esina im chaver gzuntai, but this hatred, loy oso klum. Okay, look at that. All of the learning and all of the mitzvahis, Hashem does not count for anything. The ikur hatoyrohu hashalom. The ikur Torah is peace. The im yesh shenas chinam lashav saraf tsoref. And if there is, he writes to me, shenas chinam lashav saraf tsoref. I don't know what that means. It means Hashem. He purified. I mean, it means that it doesn't sound too good. It means Hashem's going to put us in the furnace. What?
What do they mean by peace? Peace in your own mind, peace in yourself.
He's got to put you back into the fire to reform
you. We all know what it means. It means you're friendly with everyone. It means you're on speaking terms. You're on speaking terms with all of everyone. I'm shooting. You never had an enemy?
No, that's more. To get along with a fellow man is more important than tefillah.
What do you mean? Hashem is not going
to... You don't get the tefillah. You're not paying attention to what you're saying. So it's worthless.
Hashem is not going to accept the prayer. Hashem is not going to give you credit. Hashem will not give you credit for your davening. It's very important to daven, but it's not going to go to your account. If a person is in a state where he has...
You know the life of the Chidah, by the way. He spent his whole life traveling around the world talking about the Jews. He was born in Hebron, died in Hebron, but in the middle, he went through every country in Europe.
What's the name of the sefer? It's called the Shem HaGedolim?
No,
he wrote a diary. He wrote a famous diary describing his journeys.
I
think it's called the Shem HaGedolim.
And it was saying year by year where he was and what he did.
Yeah, okay. So, yeh shenaschim v'al shavet 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 akia achtos hu ikar hakoil.
The pasuk that you just mentioned, like shavet shavet shavet, right? It means you can refine yourself in terms of mitzvahs all you want, but it's for nothing.
Worth it. You can refine yourself.
Back in the fire to remold you.
Okay, that's another interpretation. He's saying different. Yeah. He's saying a different interpretation. All right. Anyway, okay. Whatever the positive thing, but basically the idea over here, the idea over here is...
The thing is,
yeah,
that we always have heard that the description of the Dor of the bias Rishon versus the bias Sheni.
Right.
This is describing more the bias Sheni people.
Correct.
Than the
correct.
Bias Rishon.
Correct. But the Aseres Hashvatim. We're not describing here the Korban Bayis Rishon. We're describing here specifically the Aseres HaShvatim. And the Aseres HaShvatim, this pasuk, according to this Chazal, reveals that they were ahead of their time. Okay? Yehuda, they first came to Asid HaShchinam at the end of the Bayis Sheni. But the Aseres HaShvatim, approximately 600 plus years before the Korban Bayis Sheni,
right,
already achieved Siddhas Chinam.
Not by Achav.
Achav was the beginning. Achav was in the middle. But they were exiled 200 years approximately into the Bayis Rishon. And there were 200 more years to go for the Yehuda and Binyamin. And then it was the goals of 70 years. And then it was 420 years in Bayis Sheni. And Chazal tell us that Bayis Sheni was Siddhas Chinam. So we do the math. It's like, how many years? 420 plus 7, so almost 500, plus another 200, 700 years. So already the problem of Sin HaSchinim amongst the Aseres HaShvatim was almost 700 years before the Sin HaSchinim of Yehuda and Binyamin, which led to their exile. Okay, let's go further. The Efshar Zeh, Remes, that's what the pasuk here means, Cholak Liban. Now, here is a new idea. Okay, this is drush. Okay, drush from the Chidah. The word ata is a code word for what? Teshuva. The ata Yisrael, no Hashem Elokecha. Okay, what moash derech meimach?
Wait,
shal meimach him liyir oisai the parshas hateshuva. Does anyone read that every day after davening? Supposed to do that. After davening in the back of the Siddur, there are many parshas, the parsha of the Mon, the parsha of Yir, parshas of Teshuvah. And the parsha of Teshuvah are a collection of psukim in the Torah, parshas of Ekev, I believe. Parshas Ekev is called the Parshas HaTeshuvah, instructing us to, how does it start? It starts with the word Ata Yisrael. So the Chidah is telling us the word Ata here is not to be translated literally. It's a code word. In the event, chas v'shalom, we find ourselves in a state where there is division amongst us, then the solution is ata. Ata, open up the siddur and dwell upon the parashas hateshuvah, which begins with the words, v'ata Yisrael, mo Hashem Elokecha, shol meimachim liyira oisai.
Maybe just think.
Ooh, very good. Okay. Okay. We have to add your commentary to the page here. Next edition.
What about Pinchas? He went ahead and he killed
Kanoi.
And he had the big bracha of Shalom.
Shalom. Okay, that's a parsha in itself.
You have to know what Shalom means.
Shalom
doesn't always mean being.
You have to know what Kanois means.
Right, yeah, but.
Okay.
You know,
dangerous game. You're right. Everything has to be taken
just
in balance.
Just accepting and being nice,
right,
is also wrong.
That's why
unconditional love, right? That's the big. That's the big raging debate today with children. Today, this is something that's totally new and did not exist in any, not in recent times. The raging debate among mechanchim is unconditional love. Open up anything about chinuch. The big question is: if Rachman Lutzan, a child is not doing well, where is the balance of taking a hard line, the carrot versus the stick? Where do you draw the line of punishment versus unconditional love? Let's say. So where do you draw the line in our generation? Everyone says there's one thing that has no Messiah. Everything Klal Yisrael is Kodesh, Kodashim, Chodosh, Osam, and Atara, Bechol Mokim. But there's one exception, and that is the Chinuch. The derech of chinuch. Every generation, every couple of years, there is a new technique that works, and the old technique does not necessarily work for the hamoinam. Al pidarkoi. Al pidarkoi.
So it's an old technique.
An old technique that there should not be a technique. It's an old technique that there should not be a technique. So Steinman was very far. Steinman was nifted this year. Now they're putting out like a torrent of all the stories and all of stories and different things from Rav Steinman. And one thing that is front and center is is he always would say over, is that there is no misoira for chinuch habanim. You have to do what works. What works in America does not work in Eretz Yisrael. What works in Eretz Yisrael does not work for chinuch in Europe. What works in Russia does not work for here. What works today did not work 3 years ago, didn't work. What worked 10 years ago, you gotta do what works. And it's very, very hard. You need a tremendous siyata d'shmaya and chachma to find an approach that works. And one of the big raging debates is this thing called unconditional love. The class, let's say, you have a child that's not 100% with the program. Should you throw him out of the house? Should you throw him out of the house? Should you throw a child out of yeshiva? Even when he is influencing the other children a little bit in the wrong way. Unconditional love is no. Never, ever, ever reject. And that's a new technique which years ago was not accepted. There's a red line. You cross the red line, you're out. And many mechanichim, they debate this. There is still a red line, bizman hazeh. And then there are mechanichim that say there is no red line, bizman hazeh. Different world today. What does that mean exactly? I don't know what that means. And Rabbi Bender from Farakway, he's very proud. And he writes, I'm from the liberal educators who believe in unconditional love.
But you wrote an article in the publisher's journal the same issue. Part of it was about the two young people that died. But they also put down that if you have a child that's not doing well, don't worry, he will eventually.
Everyone agrees to that principle. The question is how to get them there, how to bring it about. What is the technique? So, and he is taking a lot of heat. Boy, he's taking a lot of heat for his approach. Taking quite a bit of heat. Because a lot of mechanchim...
love for the kids that the other kid is bothering.
That's part of the problem. That's all part of the problem. How do you, where's the balance? There's among the mechanchim, there's a very... Everyone has to have a balance. You can't have a balance. You have to have a balance somewhere. The question is, where is the balance? Where do you put the balance? Over here or over here? That's a big raging debate. Let's go further. Ata hi teshuva. The word at is a code word for teshuva. K'moshu amru zal kloimar im yesh sin aschinam. If there is sin aschinam, ata. So here the code words afilu ta'asu teshuva k'moshu roitzel lirmois. Ata now lemitzvas teshuva k'moshu amru azal b'tevas ata. Im kol ze, it doesn't matter. K'even sheyesh sin aschinam yeshamu da'achtos hu ikur hakol. So he has learned that even teshuva is not going to help. Even doing teshuva, I have to understand what he means here. I don't really have clarity what he means. But the point over here is that the sin of cholak libam is so severe. Even though we have a general rule in the Torah called Harakula, is that there's always hope. There's always hope. You do teshuva, teshuva will smooth things over no matter what. No matter how bad the damage is, no matter what a person does, you do chozer b'shuva. But if you're going to be chozer b'shuva in a situation where there still remains cholak libam, it's not going to work. Yeshamu, they will, guilt will always be. Shuva is limited in a situation when the sinas chinam exists. Very interesting parish from the Chida. Let's look over here at the Malbim. Now the Malbim, remember, we learned yesterday, it's complex because the Malbim is going in his derech. And he is telling us there's a conversation. There's a long conversation going on between Hashem and Hoshea. Hoshea is trying to defend us, trying to defend the Aseres HaShvatim. Do not exile them. It's not Midah Keneged Midah. Hashem says it is Midah Keneged Midah. So then Hoshea says, okay, fine. It's Midah Keneged Midah, but still, you got to be good to them. And here is where he continues his unique approach to these series of psukim, Pasuk Beis. Cholak ulechein cholak Hashem eslibam. So here he interprets that we're describing, it's very, very poetic how he describes this. Hashem wants the Jewish, the Aseres HaShvatim, to go into Golus. They've reached a point beyond return. And Hashem now is going to bring about events, going to start a series of events which will ultimately result in their exile. And how? Hashem can bring about their exile in many, many ways. Hashem will plant seeds of division amongst Klal Yisrael. It is very different than everything we're learning until now. Until now, we are under the approach is that Achdus and Pirda is totally under our control. totally under our control. That's what telling us. Do tshuva, there should not be sinas chinam. The Malbim is saying that the Jewish people maybe indeed were all united. But Hashem had enough of the Averos. Hashem wants to put them in exile, send them in exile. And the way he's going to do that is by planting seeds of division amongst them. What kind of division? Were they going to form a rebellion, a coup of people to assassinate the king? Shalom ben Shalom and Hoshea to be Malshin to Ashur that Hoshea is rebelling against Hashem. Shesibev Hashem, Hashem brought about Sheyeh Beinayim Perut Levavos. Hashem planted seeds of division amongst them, the Kitos Misnagdos, different groups, the Al Yidechein, Atonel Yeshamu. That's what's going to bring about their guilt and their exile, their punishment. Through the division, that's how it will come about. They will be guilty. This division between the people will cause that their altars of Avodah Zarah will be destroyed. The melech that the new, they assassinate a Shalom. Shalom was the good king. Shalom got up and Shalom said, you know what, no more worshipping of idols, and he destroyed the mizbechos to the agolim that were established by Yeravam ben Nevat. Shamelech Shama Tachas HaRishon, the new king, Shalom and Oshay Yachris Es Mizbuches HaGolim, Sheze also Shalom ben Yavesh. That's what he did. Who did this? Who was the one that destroyed it? Shalom ben Yavesh. V'chein Oshay ben Elah. V'ali Deze Yamoid Mered K'neged HaMelech. They're going to stand up and rebel against him because they do want to worship idols, and that's going to bring about their exile. According to the Malbim, it's amazing that when it says Hu Yarif Mizbuchesam, who is the who referring to? Referring to the king Shalom and the king Hoshea, who were tzaddikim in this respect, who wanted to put an end to idolatry amongst the Aseres HaShvatim. How did the people react to the leadership, the change of policy of the leaders? A violent reaction. How dare you take away our idols? How dare you do this? We're going to impeach you for this. We're going to remove you from office. And they proceeded to do so. And by doing so, that resulted in terror. That consequences resulted ultimately in their exile. Shalom, they assassinated. And Hoshea, they were malshin to Melech Ashur, which resulted in Melech Ashur coming and exiling everyone. You're all going to get out of here. You're all coming with me to the land of Ashur. I'm going to replace this land with the Kushim. So therefore, according to the interpretation of the Malbim, we read the pasuk one more time. Cholak libam Hakadosh Baruch Hu is injecting into the Aseres HaShvatim machlokes, causing division amongst them to fight amongst themselves, and they because atoya and through this division yeshamu, it will result the desired result of Hashem that they should be punished for angering Him all of these years with their sins. And how did all of this begin? It started off with the appointment of the new king by the name of Shalom. And he says to the Aseres HaShvatim, enough of Avodah Zarah. Let's be Chozer B'Shuva. And he takes action. Hu Yaroif Mizbechosam. He demolishes the Mizbeach. Yishoydeid Matzevosam. He destroys their Matzevos. And then the pasuk goes on to say, okay, we have to go right to the next Sukkim. Goes on, the people... And then the people go on to say, okay, read the next pasuk according to the Malbim. Okay, we're jumping ahead. Kiata now Yoimu, ain't melech lanu. No.
You're not for us.
You're not for us. We want to worship idols. Kilo yoreinu es Hashem. We do not fear Hashem. V'ya melech mayaslan. What are you, the melech, you, the Shalom and Hoshea, doing to us? You must be removed from office. And that triggers... continues the sequence of events, which ultimately leads to there's people leaving Eretz Yisrael. That's the mahalach of the Malbim. Malbim is off the charts here. The Malbim over here is going off on his own derech to the Lubshad Mitzvah Pasuk. Okay, yeah. Yes.
Shalom was just for 1 month.
1 month, right. Very short time. 1 month. Yeah, very, very short. But in that 1 month, look what he accomplished. Talk about the president's first 100 days in office. Because he accomplished in his first month of office, first 30 days in office. Okay, let's just begin the next passage for 2 minutes. Cholak pasuk gimel ki ato yoimru. Now they will say, "Ein melech lanu, we have no melech. Ki lo yareinu es Hashem, we do not fear Hashem. Ya melech ma yasalanu." So who is the melech in this pasuk? Let's see the mitzudos on page 144. Pasuk gimel ki ato bezman shiyaveh ha'oyev. When the enemy comes, forget about the malvim. Just put the malvim out of the picture for the moment. When the enemy arrives on the land, yarmu hine, people will say, "Hine ein melech moyel lanu luluchay mul ha'oyev." When the enemy comes into the land, so the people are going to say, our kings are powerless. Because since we do not fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do not fear Hashem, the Melech here refers to whoever the king was, Hoshea. Hoshea was the king at the time when the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus, and according to the Mitzudos, that's who the Melech here refers to. The Melech is powerless to save us. And at least there's a silver lining here in this pasuk, according to the parish of the Mesudas, is that at least the people came to recognize the reason why they're being exiled is because we lack Yiras Shamayim. It's an amazing thing. Yiras Shamayim, how far it goes. That's the silver lining. Even though these Aseres, actually they went into Golus, they're gone. But at least they confessed. They did said vidui. This is the ultimate vidui. The ultimate vidui is to acknowledge that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, and to acknowledge that all of our sins, all of our problems have come because of our lack of Yiras Shamayim. It's very timely, this pasuk, because tomorrow is Mevarchim Chodesh Iyar, and Mevarchim, we say three times, we mention the concept of Yira three times. A Chodesh of Yiras Shamayim, Yiras Chet, and Nochamol Yiras Shamayim. Three different mentions of Yiras Shamayim, and that's where it all stems. That's the ikar of the ikar, and that's exactly what the people here they say when they realize that their churban was imminent. They confess ki lo yareinu Hashem, and therefore our leadership is powerless. All of the king's horses, all the king's men, can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again when you don't have Yiras Shamayim.
Okay.
What?
The parish
Arid
says it has. We're not afraid because we don't have Beis Dovid.
Okay, there's a different parish, a whole different parish. Okay, I know that you're jumping a little bit because it doesn't keep it very, very, very simple. According to the Mitzudos, the Melech here refers to the king they have at that moment in time, which was Hoshea. They acknowledge you could have the best military, the best tanks, the best Iron Dome, the best satellites, all the technology, the best snipers. But if you don't have Hashem on your team, you're lost. And it's very comforting that the Aseres HaShvatim said that, according to the parish of the Mitzudos. According to the Malbom, you don't have that. According to the Mitzudos, there's a very powerful vidui, a very powerful confession that is taking place here at this time. It's a very big schus for these people. According to the Malbom, they never said vidui. They were defiant to the very last moment. That's very, very sad. A person that when it comes time to leave this world, he should be in the right frame of mind to properly confess. A person should just leave the world in the wrong frame of mind where he's rebellious. And the Mitzvot here is doing us that favor by learning that Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, we'll stop here. Take a